MMA Roadshow, episode number 411. My name is John Morgan, and Cole Coffee is with me. We are back together after being separated, covering events all over the world. I mean, you know, really just LA and Vegas, but still we were in different places last week.
That's Roadshow, though. That's Roadshow.
That's some real Roadshows. I feel like I haven't seen you in a while, man. It was wild. We were doing two totally different fight weeks. And
then we had a Zoom one in there somewhere. StreamYard one.
God, that's true. It's been a while.
Using the technology. I mean, when people think of us and they think of the Roadshow, they think
cutting edge,
you know, straight legit fitness talk, the highest level of gambling talk.
I did have some fitness talk this week, actually. I got to talk to your coach, Juan Camilo Ronderos.
Yes. Dude, I'm so happy that he's getting in there. I mean, he had been working so hard to try to get it. And it's funny, like when we were doing the class, I'd see him. He's like, you know anything about the matchmakers? Do you know the matchmakers? I was like, bro, if I see them, I will see what I can do. But more than likely, it'd be like, hey, Mick, you remember me? I'm Kenny. My coach wants to fight. I'm like, how awkward would that conversation have been? But, yeah, I'm super glad that he's getting their fight. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to listening to that interview.
He's in a good place, man. It's, you know, it's funny. I'll probably put it out tomorrow. We spoke yesterday, and I got to produce it and all that. We did a video chat, and I'll probably put it out. But it's conversations like that I've really been thinking about maybe, like, adding another episode each week or doing something where we do just those interviews, right? Because, like, his story is so unique, right, of coming into the UFC on – 10 hours notice, essentially, to weigh-ins, to failing a drug test for party drugs, basically. You know what I mean? My man had a little weed and coke in his system.
I mean, if you ain't failing for that, you're not trying.
He's like, how about – he was funny. He's like – because I did ask him. Like,
this day and age, it'd probably be a lot different.
Well, it's funny. Is it kind of embarrassing or is it kind of like whatever? He's like, hey, look, think about it. He's like, I was partying and I came in on 10 hours notice. You know what I mean? Like, what do you think is going to happen when I'm in training camp and I'm training stuff? So anyway, it was the fitness thing just made me think, because I was thinking about the whole train out the program and having that conversation. But it's leading me to this conversation about, like, maybe adding another episode, or I hate to start like I got so many podcasts going on.
Too many damn podcasts. But I will tell you.
But I like those conversations.
Just to give props to Juan, and I mean this in the utmost respect. Have you seen this lady?
I have not.
She fine as hell.
That's the props you give me. That
she's fine as hell.
For all the coaching.
Oh my, no. Well, he knows I love him for his coaching, but like, I mean, bro, he outshot the coverage. Every phrase, like, I love him as to death. I think he is a hell of an individual, and I think that's probably why he lined it, a fine ass lady. But she's actually a hell of a fighter as well. But she was actually helped coach us sometimes as well. So when they actually had the finale, she was in there. She was there actually coaching. So if you saw the girl that was with him, that was going back and help coaching it. Well, that was kind of crazy. You were actually working and doing the commentary and stuff. But she's fine. So yeah, I mean, like, outside of being a hell of a nice guy, a talented fighter, he must be packing some mad meat, man. Because his lady, she fine. She fine. So good on you, Coach Juan. Good on you. And if y'all haven't seen it, I think her Instagram's like Shotgun B MMA or something. But yeah, she bad. So good on him.
Let's just pass that word out there. Yeah. I tell you, the conversation, not on top of all that, all of the good things you just said about him, the dude could literally be like a motivational speaker, man. He was talking about how, I mean, you know, he gave up this job. I think he says making like $80,000 a year, like running a dental office or whatever.
No shit.
But it's like, I want to chase that. I want to go after that passion.
Did he talk about his side hustle, like the building computers and shit?
No.
Like, if you go to his
– that's funny you say that, because notice, like, in the room he was in, it seemed like he had like a badass computer set up
in
the back.
Dude, like, it's so on his Instagram, he builds out like high-performance computers, like the ones with like the clear side, so you could see all the mechanisms on the inside. It's bad as hell. But yeah, I think he posted a build for a fighter the other day. I'm not sure what he's charging people, probably the cost of all the gear that goes inside of it, and then just labor or whatever. But dude, it's bad as fuck. Dude's smart as all get out.
I enjoyed the chat, man. Well, that comes out tomorrow. Be sure and check that out on the MMA Underground YouTube channel. Trust you're feeling better. You seem in good spirits. I know last week you were kind of hurting a little bit.
I'm still got like allergy sort of deal going on, you know, probably because of all the wind and stuff that's been kicking up lately in Vegas. Yeah. But yeah, no, in terms of like sickness or whatever, no, it's good. It's good. And now that we're after the fact, we could say it because at the time I didn't want to because I was going to go to weigh-ins and fight night regardless. But I also had the COVID.
So the sinus, in fairness, it was a sinus infection.
It was
infection.
A sinus infection.
Your sinus was infected with COVID.
It was infected with COVID. or at least I was just carrying it. I still feel like, you know, you can carry it in your system. You can carry the virus, but you don't have anything, right?
And
don't have any symptoms at all.
Like my wife, when I had it and I had symptoms.
Yeah.
There's no way my wife didn't get it. Like, I was literally, when I got the call that I was positive, I was literally sitting on the couch,
yeah,
hanging out with my wife.
There's
talking.
There's no way she didn't
she
have it.
She had to have gotten it, but she never showed any.
That's it.
Yeah.
I mean, and so you could carry it, and I think so. It was, and John was teasing me that I tested because there was a media day I didn't want to go to.
Conveniently, right before the media day in which there was like all foreign speakers.
Well, you know, and I because when I felt bad, you know, when I was like, man, maybe I'll just go check because I had heard that Evie, who
used to work for Globo, now she does for UFC Brazil, Fight Pass Brazil.
She had said that she had a sinus infection, and at that time my sinuses are messed up. I was like, dude, maybe I got that too. And I never asked her if she actually tried to test for COVID.
Right.
But when I was doing that, I was like, let me just test just to be sure. You know, I was like, I don't want to be that guy that just goes and unwillingly or unknowingly goes and affects somebody. Because it's one thing if it's another bunch of healthy guys, you know, and you're like, he's young, he's going to be fine. I'm sure he's going to be fine. I mean, there's people with families. There's people that have conditions that we don't understand. And so you can't just willy-nilly that shit, even though I told you I was thinking about still going. I was going to wear a mask. I was like, I'll test or whatever.
It'll be weird to show up with a mask for the first time in a year. Like, what's going on?
I just don't want you to see me. Well, you know, the Asian partners there probably would appreciate it that since I felt, you know, a little off that I was wearing a mask, they would have just took it as a sign of respect.
I stand with you.
But since I was just like, you know, let me just check because I just don't want to be that guy. And when I saw it, you know, funny enough, the results from CBS, I did a home test.
Right.
The home test said it was positive, but I looked on the box, and most of you, if you guys don't know this, they have expiration dates.
I didn't know that.
So when I looked at it, I was like, oh, shit, this expired like 5 months ago. I was like, let me go set up something at CBS. Let me do one of the rapid tests, and then just to make sure all my bases are covered. That took like 3 days to get the response. So when I got the positive, like it was the day or right before, maybe it was the night before or the day of media day. I was like, well, you know, I got that COVID.
Well,
I can't.
Can't go.
But since it was so far in the process of when I got the positive, 2 days later, it cleared my system. So I was able to get the negative. So when I was going to go wear a mask, I was going to try to be as good as I could that morning. You know, you never know. Maybe that day I might have would have just changed my mind. But honestly, everybody was gone. There was like nobody there. I was like, man, there's gonna be nobody at the weigh-in days.
Most of the media was out. Most of the Vegas media was out in LA with me. Yeah, at the tournament.
I was like, I'm sure this will be fine. I'll just sit over in my little corner and I'll wear my mask. You know, but it cleared my system. But before I forget, on those tests expiring, you can go and do. I did a Google search or whatever. But if you can, the CDC or one of those health organizations has a listing or sort of a database of all the different test things. Like this is one where I asked, got some new ones. This is Quidel or whatever. So this is like a new version. But you can go and you can find the lot number. You look at the maker, it'll give you the lot number. And the test that I had actually got extended until like almost mid this year. So even though they expired mid last year, it almost extended it a whole full year. Hmm. So more than likely, if you do have a test, you could look into to see whether it's still valid. Because there is some liquids and things inside there. You know, I guess that, you know, that stuff can go bad. But there's your lesson of COVID testing day. You have your at-home test, even though it says expired, might not be expired, but you can check to see the validity. But yeah, no, I feel a lot better. I still sound kind of nasally.
Yeah,
I'm still dealing with allergies and stuff.
Yeah.
You know, I've been trying to get my steps in, dog. So I've been still going out and, you know, getting the steps and stuff. But lately, Vegas has been really, really windy. It's still obviously beautiful and sunny, but we've been having crazy wind lately.
Windy,
so
chilly.
And just getting outside, it just kind of keeps knocking this up. But yeah, man, I've been like a fucking crack fiend, like nasal spray. Like just, I was using one that I guess they said you're not supposed to do a bunch, so I switched to one that they said you can, but it doesn't work as effective. Mm-hmm. I've been spraying that shit like constantly, like It's like this is a 140-meter spray. I'm like, dude, this is going to get me through like a week.
due to some previous life choices that I've made, I am not a big fan of the nasal spray. I try to avoid that as much as possible. Yeah. It transports me back to a time in my life where maybe I was making some decisions. I mean, you know, normally I make really responsible, healthy decisions. I mean, I'm really always trying to take care of it. But believe it or not, there was a time in my life where I may have ingested some things that were not quite so good for me. And, yeah, you know, my boy Juan Camilo knows what I'm talking about. But I'm just saying.
I mean, it's like, you know, it's that old joke, you know, like Coke's a terrible drug. I don't like it. I just like the smell of it, you know. It's just like.
So ridiculous. Oh, man. All right. So fight week overall, man, it was a week where really the bigger event was in L.A. with Bellator. I don't think there's any way you can deny that.
Yeah,
it was the bigger, more important show. You know.
And unfortunately got the result that most of us thought was going to happen.
Yeah, that was sad.
That was hard to watch.
It was hard, man. It's so frustrating because, you know, I've seen a lot of people come out and say, like, oh, the matchmakers, what are they doing? But you got to realize, man, Fedor insisted on
that
matchup. Insisted. Yeah. They were like, what if we got Josh Barnett in here? Or what if we find, you know, let us find, what about, what, you know, they're
throwing
out
options. That
wouldn't
have been a great one either.
I don't think that would have been a great one either. But
Barnett's huge.
Oh, dude, dude, seeing him there?
Yes. Oh,
massive.
My Lord.
Yeah, it's crazy. But I don't know. I feel bad because a lot of people are kind of railing on the matchmakers, and it's like, bro, you got to realize, like, that's the fight he insisted on.
I'm watching, like, all the dudes after. Who was it that he was teasing about his belly?
Chuck Liddell.
Yeah, like, Fedor probably would have been like, hey, how about that one? Could you have got Chuck signed for one? You know, so, I thought good. That was so fun. I mean, like,
it
just seeing just seeing that interaction between the guys.
I know.
I thought that was really, really cool. You know, people say, you know, a lot of promotions could do better about retirements. Granted, this was a tough match for him. Granted, he got beat the F up.
Yeah.
But in terms of bringing out some extra element to actually send him off, that was really darn cool.
Super cool.
Yeah, it was
super
really, really cool.
Not something I've really seen much of. And,
yeah.
You know, not something that it was cool because it didn't feel forced. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
All those people were like –
they all liked each other and respected each other.
That dude is just an absolute legend, you know? And so it was – it was a cool thing to be in. And I will say, the feeling as he walked in, man, like, oh, dude, just there was a vibe in there.
Yeah,
you know, we're like, the whole place was on their feet. Everybody had their camera out and was recording it. I was just kind of looking around. And it was cool, like, you know, fellow media members, like, people in the VIP section, like, everybody's kind of looking around like, damn, dude, like, that.
Yeah.
There he is right there, bro.
That's
Fedor,
cool.
You know, it was cool. And then essentially the inevitable happened after that.
Ooh, that was rough.
Yeah.
It was almost like they were like, did Bader not get the script? Did he not get the script that said, hey, let him have some moments?
Yeah, they tried to give him that Tito script. He was like, no, we're not doing that one again.
Boy, I mean, his hands are good, man, but that power, man, as soon as he started landing, I was like, holy cow, that is not how I saw that one going down. I mean, I had Bader winning.
Of course.
I just didn't have it Bader dominating because strikes.
He said, you know, I agree, right? Like, even though the first thing, because the first one was kind of like a freak result, like, right? Like,
yeah.
One shot landed and that was that. But it was wild to hear him talk afterwards because you know, he said, look, dude, Fedor still swings. And you saw him when he was loading up, like,
yeah.
Fedor was throwing heavy. But Bader said, he was like, dude, I had watched enough tape and I've been in there with him. Like, I could see when he was about to throw. Like, I could feel that little tell. And he does have that little tell. Like, he kind of ducks in and leaps, you know what I mean? He's like, I knew it was coming. I saw it coming. I got out of the way. And he handled it right.
Because he puts his whole body into his strike. So, I mean, you see the body move before the arm actually starts going. You know, which would be a little bit different if he was just doing, like, a little short straight jab or anything. He literally just brings heat.
Yeah, he's leaping at
you.
You
know, so he's like that duck down and then looping arm, which if it hits you, you're going to get fucked up. I mean, he's still got power. But, well, good on him, man. That shows that Bader, I mean, as long as he's been doing it, he's still, you know, upping his game as well, you know, elevating it, you know, and working on his fight IQ. But
he was all class all week, man.
Yeah.
If you weren't
he's
a fan of Bader.
He's always been, though.
Bader's never
– I've never thought anywhere like Bader just taking cheap shots or, you know, anything like that. He's always been a classy
all
dude.
All class, man. In a tough spot and, you know, admitting it was a tough spot, you know, like even just saying, like, dude, I would have cheered for that guy if I wasn't fighting him. You know what I mean? So it was cool, man. It was good being out there. And the ratings, you know, the ratings, I think, you know, a little over a million, I guess. But, you know, I was saying two things about the ratings, number one. First off, times have changed in terms of what ratings are on network television, right?
Yeah.
So I think anything – and I said this going in, and I really, truly believe it. Like, any number was a win because it was bigger than what you're going to get on Showtime. Way bigger than you're going to get on Showtime.
Easily.
So whether you want to look at like what Bellator did on CBS versus what Elite XC did on CBS or what, you know, I don't think you can. I don't think it matters. I think them beating the Showtime number by a long margin is good for them. And the other thing, too, is I don't think – I mean, I know they don't. They don't include all the streaming numbers and stuff, and a lot of people are streaming. In fact, it was weird to me. I saw a couple different people on social media and even a friend of mine in text message was like, I don't know how to get CBS. Because like, everybody has streaming services now.
Yeah.
That they're like, I'm like, I think you can just turn your TV on and get it. But people are like, I don't know how to get CBS. I thought that was so bizarre. Like, used to network television. Was like, got to get on network television. Yep. Now you had people, like people that I know specifically, were like, I don't even know how to tune into CBS. I thought that was so wild.
I had a hard time at least trying when I first tried to pull up like the CBS app on like the web. Because, of course, we were at the Apex. So I pulled up FUBU. So I streamed it off FUBU, streamed the CBS channel through FUBU.
That's funny.
You know, as opposed to just pulling the CBS. That was just because I had a little initial hiccup trying to get in, and I just wanted to see it.
Right.
You know, but yeah, so I'm one of the streaming numbers, you know, that's out there. So I'm sure there are others like me that get their TV from streaming. Like, if you don't have a decent antenna here, so like this TV behind you, that's next to that window, gets better satellite for some channels here in town. This one over here won't pick up some of the channels.
And they're like 15
they're
feet apart.
They're 15 feet apart. You know, so it's weird. So even if somebody does, even with it being a local channel, if you don't have a decent enough antenna to pick up like a local channel, you still might miss it. So those people are all going to go online anyway. So yeah. I thought that was pretty cool. But yeah, I mean, in terms of like the streaming thing, it's so funny. We've said it many, many times. You know, we all cut the cable, but now we're spending more than we probably did. And we have like 15 different places where we have to go to find everything.
You're like, I don't even know where it all is. So
if they just put all these things together in one site, just one
feed,
they could just bundle it together. Why don't they do that?
I have cable streaming. It's so ridiculous. All right, so you mentioned being at the Apex. You guys had that late night. I know you guys.
Oh my goodness!
You guys were just getting started by the time we were wrapping up. Although our post fight press conference in LA did run pretty long, just because it was
just waiting for the guys to get there. I mean, it was no Brazil where we were leaving the venue on the bus, and that was not getting the main ones at like 5, but leaving the Apex at like 1 in the morning was absolutely bizarre. I think it was even after
that.
I think it was even after that.
We've just never been there that late.
Yeah, I mean, it was just. I was like, what the heck is going on? Because I remember I was like, well, let me just finish this video, and I'm gonna do this. And I look at the time, I was like, holy cow, it is late. I'm like, let me go home. But luckily, I got everything done before I left out of there. But I was like, this is ridiculous.
So, good event. I mean, obviously, I think the road to UFC, some of those fights were pretty good.
I had some good ones.
I didn't originally watch them when I did the NF episode because I hadn't had a chance to watch them. I went back and watched them. There were some entertaining ones.
Yeah.
You know, and I said it this past weekend, but a sad night for Derek, man, just seeing his frustration. Ugh. Like, knowing, you know, we're big Derek Lewis fans. I know, you know, you especially. And again, you know, it's kind of funny. In saying – you know, I think we kind of knew what was going to happen with Ryan Bader and Fedor Emelianenko.
Yeah.
I think we also kind of knew what was going to happen with Sergey and Derek Lewis. But then it played out like that. And again, kind of similar shades of the same way. I think we knew it was going to happen, but we didn't necessarily know it was going to be that dominant.
Yeah.
Where, like, you wouldn't even get to throw a punch. And it was just wild. Like,
when he kept taking him down over and over, I was like, I was like, how can you not stop that? I was like, it looks like he could be able to stop that.
Oh, man. And you could just see the frustration on his face, especially because, you know, kind of openly all week, and myself and Nolan King talked about this last week, is that I think Derek Lewis has always been kind of his, like, mental, psychological shield to just be like, I'm just in here having fun, like, whatever happens, I'm just making money for my family. But then this past week, it felt like he was really kind of embracing, like, no, I got to show the world, like, I matter, I belong here. And then to have that kind of result, and just you could see the frustration, man, that had to be a tough one.
I mean, I think to get that, knowing that, you know, even though they might try to say that the pressure's not there, that 3 losses in a row has always kind of been that magical number where most guys get cut, and this was going to be that 3rd one. So, I mean, I think he probably knew he had to take it, you know, seriously. But, yeah, man, 4 out of 5, 4 losses out of 5 fights is not a good look, and it's tough because he looks better than ever before. You know, people all week long are like, look at him. I mean, he does. He's been doing work. I was really surprised that when he came in on the scale, he was still – 264, 265, I thought he was going to be under that from the way that he transformed his body. So I was like, okay, this is going to be different. You know, but man, there was just something that as the fight started, and it was just like you saw Sergey start to have his way, and it was just like, no, I don't want to watch this. I don't want to watch this. Derek, get up.
I literally felt like it was probably, honestly, the and a half episode was probably like the saddest one I've ever done.
Yeah.
Because it was like I literally just watched those two main events back to back, and I was like,
yeah, that's brutal.
You know, it's so,
that'll be brutal.
So bad. So
yeah,
bad.
Man, Fedor, that was rough. And then to go into Derek, but yeah, I remember we were watching the back, the few of us that were there, we put it on.
Not the
biggest media turnout. Yeah, we were watching it, and everybody was just like, oh, man, because everybody was excited to see Fedor. And then as it kind of played out, the collective of the room was like, damn, that sucks, you know?
Yep.
And then I just turned it off. I was like, all right, enough of that shit. And I was like, bummer. And then we got into our stuff, but. Yeah, that was a long, crazy day, and yeah, two final fights were not the. I mean, and you're happy for both guys that won. I mean,
of course,
happy for Bader, happy for Sergey.
Bader,
like,
is a dude that's been around forever. Is, as we said, all class, very class this week. He deserves it. Sergey is a dude that, man, hearing what's going on in his personal life with travel issues,
yeah,
and visa issues,
was,
and can't see
that
his
was
family,
crazy.
And knowing that he's one of those like. And seeing how hard he's working on his English,
dude,
and like trying to interact.
Amazing!
More.
I was like, "How much fun is this that we can actually talk to you?" Yep. You know, and like I thought he did really well. He was
he
speaking, and I was like, "Holy cow!" This interview went really long, and so happy for him. Like he's doing the work, and I mean, he's doing everything right. Yeah, Derek was a super, super tough task, and for him to go out there and do what he did, I mean, like you literally just stamped your name on that division. Like, guys. This was the guy that's challenging for the belt a little while back, but look what I just did to him.
Yep.
Here I am, you know?
So let me ask you something. All right, so not a lot of media there, like you said. The event was late. But you guys got a nice little Dana White scrum, right? You guys, that's the longest conversation you've ever had with him. I know, because I was watching it. I waited to do the NAF episode until you guys were done, and I started immediately after. So I was watching that thing live, and I'm like, "Look, my man Cole Coffey in here. He's having a full on conversation." You know what I mean?
That's what somebody on the YouTube tweeted or sent a message like, first guy was just having a conversation with Dana. I'm like, well, why not?
Straight up, dude. I mean, I think there were only like three or four of you in there, so good on you to do that.
It was
sparse. And look, I've been there before. Where people are like, especially during the pandemic times, where people are like, well, dude, why don't you let somebody else get a question? You're like, bro, there is nobody else in here. So,
and we literally had, just like I told you earlier, like, just like when there's a lot of other media that normally participates, we kind of divvied out a little bit, like, okay, you're going to talk about this. I'm going to talk about this. You're going to talk about this. So we had everybody sort of had their parts. I had my initial ones that I wanted to go. I didn't even count, of course, like the icebreakers.
Right.
Talk about this event a little bit.
That's the softball. Why do you have softball? The softball is
just to get
break
him going.
The ice, get
even
him
when
talking.
You look at him, like his initial responses were sort of short, and I was like, "Fuck! Don't let this be like that night where it's going to be so awkward and like silent." But you got to do those. You know, you got to get those out of the way. And once it did, then he started chatting. I was like, "Okay." Maybe this isn't going to be so bad. But then to hear people later on were just like, why do you have so many questions? I'm like, well, fuck you.
Well, see, all right. So this kind of leads me into what I want to ask you about, right? Because the big news that came out, I mean, there were a lot of newsworthy topics and obviously the whole Conor McGregor and Michael Chandler thing.
But I feel like I got nothing out of it.
No, but it,
but at least ask the questions.
You at least ask it. I mean, there was a lot of stuff going on. But the big one that everybody seems to be focused on is Dana White forgetting Islam Makhachev's name, right? And not mentioning his name. And I get it. If you, and I'm not even sitting here trying to defend Dana White. I don't want to defend him, but I know that the easiest thing to do is to hate on Dana. And that's what everybody loves to do, right? I just didn't take that much offense out of
it.
Dude, it's late at night.
Yep.
It's been a long day. It's you know, you just forget. Everybody has mental lapses sometimes. Yeah. Everybody has a mental lapse.
Nolan, just the other day when we had him in here, remember he brought up the fact, he's like, remember when Kenny forgot my name on the podcast?
Dude,
it happens.
It just happens. And I get it.
And it was late. It was late. I thought nothing of it when it happened because it was just like, we're just rolling. And like, I literally asked him a multitude of questions about different other shit. And then it got, and then 284 got brought up. So I think his brain was just like,
these different things. That's the way I took it. I'm so glad to hear that because I haven't had a chance to really talk to anybody about this yet. But when I saw it, I didn't think anything. I just, you know, and here's what it kind of made me realize though, is that we're in this time when everything is televised, broadcast, streamed. Like the point of press conferences was originally to just get quotes that you could use in stories that you would write. You know what I mean? Where it's like, hold on, man, hang on. You know what I meant? The thing.
Everything's under a microscope now. They break everything. They don't take the totality of things. They want to look at everything like second by second and like, was there a mess up here? Was there a mess up here? Like, I remember that night thinking, one, that we were all sort of mentally tired. We just did a bunch of interviews and like, I was thinking, I had to write my notes down just to make sure the questions I want. And even then, I almost forgot one of the questions I want to ask.
Yep.
So this is me having shit written down. Granted, you shouldn't forget the name of your champ that's fighting the thing. But shit happens.
Right.
But I remember at the end of the night, maybe by being so close to it, you know, being there present, asking all the questions, I didn't even think about, okay, what was it that he just said a second ago? Because I didn't retain it.
Right.
You know, because I'm already moving on to another thing. But it's for those that are sitting back and maybe just breaking, okay, what can we get from this? And then they start breaking down the minute little things. And it was just interesting that that was the very first thing that everybody keyed into for the whole thing was when Dana had a slip of his mind. And then everybody wanted to say, oh, well, that's because, you know, they weren't promoting the event. You know, they weren't doing this. See, this is even perfect, you know. Because at one point I was being asked to sort of, you know, ask for feedback on when Makhachev had – you know, was saying that they weren't promoting it. But then when Dana did the whole forget thing, they're like, never mind, this is actually better. You know, just like, oh.
So ridiculous.
But everybody, every outlet was keying in on that and just chose it. And I hate to see it, but I mean, I get it.
I totally understand, but I just think it's so like taking something out of context and believe, like, this whole lack of promotion thing or whatever, like now we're in the middle of fight week. And obviously, this is a massive fight. UFC 284, like, it's going to be huge. Cannot wait to watch this fight.
Yeah.
Am actually okay with watching it from my office. It's a long trip to get down there. And
yeah.
Boy, I just watched this. John Anik did a good, like an hour long sit down with Brendan Fitzgerald. And he, man, I felt like he was speaking my language 100% because John was talking about how much he's passionate about his job and how much he loves it, but then also how much harder it's getting for him to be away from his kids, and that his kids are actually like asking him like, why do you, and I was like, dude, that's like my life 100%. But anyway,
imagine doing that in regular coach though, as opposed to business class.
Yeah, that makes it easy.
Then it makes it, makes it a lot easier. But, I'm just saying, Mr. Anik. I mean, I feel your pain.
It's a good interview though. So it's on Fight Pass or it's
he
on.
He did another one with Submission Radio that I haven't checked out. That a lot of people are saying that was a good one. I think it just came out today. So he's. I mean, I love Anik. I mean, I tease when I say about the coach and the business thing. But, yeah, I was playing my tiny violin for those that are like, oh, the travel was so bad. I remember Gooden posted the thing. He's like, oh, travel's tough getting through whatever. But I made the trip, and I'm looking. And I see he's in his business class seat. And I was like, oh, shit. You're so stuck. You're so hard.
This pod is so cramped.
I'm like, did you have a whole wall you could close yourself in to just feel better?
So funny. But I want to get – because, listen, I think about that. And this conversation did come up, and obviously Islam was the one that I think, you know, it was his quote that people really keyed in on. And two things hit me. Number one, I feel like we hear this over the years. I feel like we've heard this a lot. Like, we get to a big fight week, and, you know, you talk to media, and they're like, is it just me or you, or does this not feel like a big fight week? But that's like Monday or Tuesday, right? And then all the stuff starts rolling in. And then, you know, it's Wednesday, and you've got the embeds, and you've got media day, and you've got all the interviews coming out. And then you got the weigh-ins, and then you got the specials and all stuff. And by the time you get to, like, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, you're like, oh, dope, I can't wait for this fight. I can't wait for this fight.
Yep.
And so I feel like this is – I'm not saying it's not a valid discussion or whatever that people want to talk about it, but I just feel like we've heard this so many times over the years. It's like, dude, this is just the way it was. In fact, Brendan Fitzgerald actually had a really funny tweet, and I think he caught a lot of crap for it, but where he was like – and he tweeted last week, and I don't have it in front of me, but it was something like, do people not realize the Super Bowl is next week? Like, you know, like, it's almost like they're waiting for all the players to get into town before they really push it and stuff. And I was like, dude, and I think he caught a lot of grief for it, but it's so spot on. The advanced promotion, just a little bit. It's fight week is when you promote the fights. That's when you really make it the big fight week. But the other thing that hit me last night is because I was actually sitting in my house last night and I was watching the countdown, and then I watched the embeds, and I watched the on the line that they do on Fight Pass, and it did make me think. Like, I do understand, you know, maybe some complaints of not having advanced promotion, but then I put myself in the role of journalist, right? Like, if I was at a press conference like a month ago, like, what questions would I have for Islam and Volkanovski that would get, like, some money line or some promote? Like, I feel like these two dudes are absolutely the baddest dudes on the planet, and I can't wait for this fight. But I don't feel like they're the kinds that you would, like, what, like, why didn't they take him on a world tour? Like, you know, like, right, they did, like they did with Maymack or whatever. You know, why didn't they take him around? Like, they even did with Connor and Aldo. Like, why didn't they do that? And I just feel like, had they done that, and I'm just being 100% honest, and if people disagree with me, I'd love to hear it. But I just feel like, had they done, let's say, the world tour, they promoted it more than anything they'd ever done before, I feel like that all would have fallen kind of flat. Like, just because these two dudes aren't really, like,
very polite.
Yeah, they're not boisterous personalities. They're just. I don't see that that really would have helped anything.
I agree. But you never know. I mean, you never know, with maybe by the second or third leg, some shit would have started popping off. Just start getting annoyed with the whole process. So then they start taking it out on each other. I mean, it certainly didn't help to have the champion and the star of the show complain about the promotion, you know, because then it set it out there, you know, so people were already looking for some reason. I feel like if there was no complaints from the fighter saying that something had happened or that there was lack of promotion, if Dana would have had his brain fart, people would have just would have laughed, I think, and be like, there's Dana forgetting his champ's name, you know. Whereas now they're like, see, it's all part of a master plan to, you know, disenfranchise and blah, 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 blah. And it's just like, maybe if the champ didn't say anything to kind of put out there. I mean, not trying to make it, you know, excuses for the UFC not promoting, because it's the same thing we've said before. I mean, there's just so many events. While this event is great, it's in a market that they probably already knew that it was going to sell out, because they haven't had an event down there in ages.
Know that.
You know, so it's not like they need to drum up ticket sales and do another kind of stuff.
It's going to do pay-per-view buys in Australia because it's their guy. You know what I mean? Like,
I mean, it's just it is what it is. I mean, but yeah, I didn't think anything about Dana's thing. And with the Makhachev thing, it certainly didn't help, but I could see where his frustration, his first chance to really defend the belt and do that thing, and maybe they would have thought, like,
well, that's it too.
You know,
he still just became champ, and I'm not talking bad about this.
No one gets
all
world tours, you know, in general, and let alone on your first defense.
He just got it.
Yeah,
you know, and I think maybe that's part of it too. That had he, you know, look, had he had a couple more defenses, and again, I'm not, dude, this to me, you can't put, like, I don't think you could put a better fight together on paper right now. A, their records are insane.
Yeah.
B, their pound for pound standings. They're both reigning champions. And C, just the way their styles clash. Like, it's not even like, whoa, hey man, if this thing stays standing, that dude's gonna win. If it goes to the ground, that dude's gonna win. Like, the intricacies of how their styles got, like, it doesn't get any better than this, man. This is as top as it gets. But yeah, like, Islam just be like, it wasn't that long ago that people were just like, it's just Habib's guy or whatever. Yep. And he's not, you know, I don't know. Like, it's such a weird thing that now everybody's like, oh, Islam's not getting the respect he deserves. Like, he just became champ.
Yeah. Do you think it'd be different if that was at T-Mobile?
That their promotion would be
just
different?
Just the overall promotion, with it being a home thing? I mean, do you think the fact that it is an international show, that they didn't put the same legs that they maybe would put if it was even just in the States?
It's possible. I mean, but again, it's still it's just happening right now. You know what I mean? But if it was in Vegas, because then you'd have the local
media. But even
then,
they wouldn't do a world tour for that.
But then you'd have the local media more intrigued and more, like, clamoring for stuff and more calling for stuff. Whereas right now, it's like, well, we're not really covering that.
I mean, I can see where it's kind of interesting, where he's the champ, they're going for his belt, but they're, in a sense, going to the challengers' homeland,
right?
You know, it's kind of weird. So I could see where he's like, okay, so I made that concession to bring it over here, but then you're not gonna reward me by doing something that pushes me further into the limelight or something. So I could see where he maybe feels a little slighted or whatever. But in general, I think if anybody got the belt and was like, I need a world tour for my next event, people would think that's crazy. Maybe he thought world tour because it's an international event. He's like, okay, we're already on over here, let's jump around. But the thing, when we did the world tour, even at Maymack, the only part that was world tour, I mean, granted, yes, they did the thing in London, but they went to Canada.
Right.
Just right upstairs, you know, and then came down. That wasn't even much of a world tour.
Well, and then, I'm still thinking through my head right now, like, obviously Islam is, you know, Habib's protege or whatever. Right. Obviously Islam had a first-hand account of Habib and Connor. But again, What's the common thing we're all talking? It's Conor. And I hate to say that, but let's just be honest. If Conor McGregor was coming back and not fighting Michael Chandler but fighting Islam Makhachev, maybe you would get a world tour at that point. Yep. And again, it's no disrespect to Islam. It's just certain people command that and certain don't. Yep. I don't think you can just manufacture that. Like, people are like, they got to do a better job.
And that didn't even
stars.
Start. And that wasn't even that like that for Conor to start out. Right? Conor built his way into that. It wasn't like that to start. You know, I mean, the guy earned it. You know, I mean, he made himself an absolute name before he was ever a star. Before he was ever a champ, he made himself this guy that people couldn't not stop watching.
It's different, man.
You know, and it's just different for Islam. It's not that way. I mean, part of it's the language barrier. You know, that's getting better, the point, you know, but Conor never had that little issue there. And always, you know, at the beginning, it felt like Islam was fine being the quiet guy off to the side. You know, now he's taking the limelight and he's starting to push to make himself more prominent. But it's hard to just jumpstart that. Some people have that charisma. Some people have that just factor that people can't not just be attracted to and just want to pay attention and want to watch. People look at Islam's fighting style. They look at his fights and they're intrigued by that. They're intrigued by the way he wins. But outside that, he's very soft-spoken and he's quiet. I mean, he doesn't have that immediate it factor that people are like, oh, my God, I got to watch this. Like, I'm not having my cousins, my brothers, my nieces, my nephews aren't asking me about him.
That's it.
They were all asking me about Conor. So, 100%. I mean, to expect the same level of treatment, it's sort of just naive to think that you're going to get the same thing right now.
I agree.
Eventually, can you get there? Sure. But to just immediately think that you could command it because, what, of your association with Khabib, you think that is enough to do it? I mean,
it's just been frustrating to me that's the talking point about this fight is whether or not it's being promoted
correctly. When it's being promoted.
Like, just bizarre to me.
I mean, and when if he gets this win, which I think he's going to get this win pretty – I don't want to say easily because I think that
odds shocked me though, bro.
Yeah.
The odds shocked me at like hovering around like minus 350, minus 400 somewhere, you know, kind of – wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, I mean, they're showing a lot of respect to Volk. I mean, like, he deserves respect. I mean, but man, when you get these two, I mean, and he's got good hands. I think it'd be interesting to see a bigger Volk stepping in there.
Right.
But I mean, Islam's not a small dude.
No.
And the way that he's able to just sort of control people, I mean, who knows? I mean, I just want a good fight, you know. So I mean, but odds can change.
It is also, I was kind of tweeting a little bit of this last night is, it is funny because I sometimes hate to use odds as an indicator of likelihood of victory, but I do feel like they're a nice way to measure, right? Like at the end of the day, odds are set so that you know, you get two-way action, right? That's all the odds makers are trying to do. So they installed Islam as a very big favorite, probably because most of us, I think, because me and you, like, I think we both feel like I'm picking Islam in this fight, you know. But I think it's a more live fight than what those odds would indicate, but the odds are designed to get action, so they want people to put some money on Volkanovski.
What number can they create so they can get money to come in on both sides?
But I still look at those odds as kind of a view of how the public views things, because if the money just started pouring in on Volkanovski, like, oh, what? I can get Volkanovski at plus 300? Like, give me all day.
Right.
Then they would shore up.
Then they would change
it. Yep. But they never really shored up. So I feel like people are really counting Volkanovski out of this fight. And again, it is weird. I mean, look, at the end of the day, I'm picking Islam Makhachev.
I wonder if a lot of people just aren't putting money onto this fight.
Could be
to
too.
Move it, you
could
know, I mean, too. Like if the line's not really moving, a lot of times it could be there's just not engagement.
Not enough.
You know, I mean, there's got to be stuff that makes it want to move. So if a lot of money coming in, or if it's just very balanced, they're like, oh, well, we don't have to do anything. People are putting money in
it's
regardless.
True.
But if there's not a lot of money moving the thing, it's going to look sort of stagnant. But it could be that there's just not a lot of people invested in enough to want to put money on the fight, you know?
It's possible. I could actually see that because you're like, well, I think Islam's going to win, but I'm not going to put that much money on him to win. Whereas you're like, well, I think Volkanovski has a chance, but I'm not going to waste my money because I really feel like it's going the other way. So it definitely could be. But, it's an exciting fight, man. I can't wait for this fight. It's a huge one. Pound for pound discussion is in there. And, man, if Volkanovski wins this, dude, I just – you know, talking about the fact that I don't think he's a massive superstar, and I don't, and I think part of it is just because he is such a respectful guy, such a humble guy, but damn, dude, to take this challenge, man, I give him all the credit in the world to be like, dude, I already have respect, I already have, you know, everything, and I'm going to move up a weight class to do this.
I mean, all he's really for that guy. Yeah, but what's he really risking? Just pound for pound rating?
Yeah, nothing.
You know, but I mean, those weight classes are so close. You know, there could be a lot of up and down going on. You know, he's like, you want to come up for my belt? Maybe I'll go for yours.
Islam would have to chop off a leg.
Yeah, it just depends on what this. And that's why I said about the size, man. When it comes down to it, I mean, we know that Volk used to be big, and everybody loves to bring up the fact when he was like 215,
yeah,
and he was a ginormous individual. He's not that same person anymore, you know.
The countdown show had a couple scenes. First of all, I'd seen stills, photos of Volkanovski back in his rugby days, but I don't think I'd ever seen the footage of him playing.
Yeah,
and it is funny, like that dude is a straight up bowling ball, dude. Like he's so small.
That's not him.
Dude, he's just against monsters, bro. I thought it was so cool. And the other thing that really stood out to me from the countdown was the scenes of Islam in Dagestan when he went back, dude. Like that was so
crazy.
Oh, dude, like. Just the people meeting him at the airport, and then on the streets, and then like even going back to like because Mahashkala is like the big city that they went to, but they didn't come from there. Like they started from a small village outside, so he even went back to his small village, and you see just the humble ass beginnings that those dudes came from. Man, it was so cool. But to see him have that kind of hero's welcome, and
what was that on?
On the countdown show. And it was so good, man. I mean, like, the you know, meeting with the president of Dagestan, and it was cool, man, to really like, straight-up superstar status, you know, in his home country.
I wish we did better that here for our athletes here.
I think it's just because we have so many Americans on the roster, because you're so right. Like, I think it's so cool when you see a guy that represents a nation, like, that nation gets behind him, the fan base is behind him, goes home, him or her, you know, either way, like, in China.
Maybe
like
that's part of it, is winning the belt overseas and then bringing it back.
That's it.
You set that moment. It'd be different if, I won the belt in New York and I'm going back to Louisiana.
Yeah.
They're like, okay.
All right.
Welcome home from your 2-hour flight, sir.
But I think the other part of it, too, is just that, like, you have so many. Like, I don't see really that same reception for, like, Brazilian champions. Why? Because they have so many of them. Like, I know Aldo's – I mean, you can make some – I mean, they have had some superstars that were much beloved, and Aldo's, like, the king of the But it's not the same as that, you know? And I think it's just because when you have so many – your fan base is kind of stretched across multiple people instead of like that's our guy or that's our girl, you know.
Well, half the time too, we're like we like the foreign guy just as much as the home guy. I'm actually kind of pulling for the non guy from Michigan. You
so
know, like,
true.
He can burn. Yeah. I'll pick a guy from Brazil.
Yair Rodriguez, Josh Emmett. Intrigued. I mean, dude,
I am.
I am too.
I picked opposite most people on our staff.
You want Emmett?
I did.
A lot of people going, yeah.
Which understandably, I get it. You know, I mean, I don't know. I told myself a while back, I wanted to stop doubting Josh. I think he just steps up for big ones. And I think if there's a fight that he could step up, that he's capable of bringing that power and doing something, I think this is that one. I mean, we've seen Yair do magical things, and we've also seen him get beat the F up to the last seconds of the fight. You know, and I think Josh is capable. I think he's capable of putting a beat down on him and just being smart enough to stay away from the main danger. And I think that's what's going to happen in this one. But I've started my picks off not so good this year, so
not a great start.
I might have just doomed him by putting my name on him. But, yeah, I am intrigued for that because, I mean, it means a lot. I mean, like, for a while, Josh is that guy that everybody was like, you know, when's he going to get his title shot? When's he going to get his title shot? He's always been there. Near the top, sort of just hovering. Same with Yair. He's always been this guy that everybody has always thought was a superstar, and he's the guy that, you know, people think could carry the division. But, you know, it's a tough fight for both guys. But, you know, if I probably thought about the fight more than I normally do, I probably could go either way. But my initial gut reaction, I just want something good for Josh. I think he deserves it.
I think you're spot on about everything. Not just the fact that you know pulling for the guy because he wants something good. I mean, there was another one I'd seen that before. They're like him and his wife are building like a house for his mom on their back property or whatever.
Yeah.
So like I mean, just a good dude.
He's a good dude.
But look at him. I mean, honestly, when you look at it, Josh Emmett comes in at 18-2. Yair Rodriguez comes in at 14-3. They're both an identical 9-2 in the UFC. So
it's ridiculous.
You look at their track record, like I think in your head you go, oh, Yair Rodriguez, the flashy superstar carrying Mexico. You know, obviously the zombie knockout's always going to be there.
Yeah, it was unreal.
You know,
it was unreal.
But Emmett is that guy, and I get it, man. The Calvin Kattar split decision, like, I don't know. Did you really win that fight? Or
I remember everybody was so fired up about that. I still thought Josh, maybe because I picked him. Maybe that kind of swayed me a little bit. You know, but I thought he did enough. But I know Calvin didn't like that one. But when we look at the last guys, he's beating Ige, Burgos, who's a beast, Bektic, I mean, Johnson.
That's a monster run right there.
It's crazy.
Kattar, Ige, Burgos, Bektic, Johnson.
I mean,
that's
just
a
crazy
run.
I mean, it's a crazy lineup of dudes that he's went through. I mean, he started to talk more, but he's like just been quietly just destroying top ranked dudes, you know? I think this is probably one of those ones that people were on the fence as to whether they think has champ potential. This is definitely that fight that should hopefully remove any doubt, unless it's some crazy, boring, whatever fight where they're so respectful of each other's striking that they don't actually engage. But I don't see that. When you look at these two guys, both guys like to throw down mad hands. So, I mean, I think it's going to be an incredible fight. But, yeah, I mean, and both guys are nice guys. You can't really argue and feel bad if either one of the guys is another one. You just want to see a good fight. But, yeah, I mean, I just feel like a lot of people for Yair for so many years have been touting him as being this guy that's a future champ, a guy that's this. I feel like Josh has been doing the work and not getting the accolades that he deserves. Yep. So maybe there's part of me that just wants to see him get his moment.
I think
to shine,
you're the same,
you know?
That we both kind of pull for underdog. Yeah. We both kind of like to see those stories win. So I get
because I think everybody, I mean, like I said, you look down our stat picks for this, for most part, I think there's maybe a couple of us in Junkie that leaned Emmett.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty heavy, Rodriguez. I could be wrong, but my initial picks that I remember looking over were definitely heavy on Yair.
So here's an interesting question, because if we both kind of assume that Islam is going to beat Volkanovski, right? I mean, again, I think it's a very competitive matchup, but we're both leaning that direction.
I would be pleasantly surprised, and I would not be sad if Volk didn't go out there and just fucking starch him.
It'd be amazing.
Yeah,
it'd
be
one
awesome.
Of the greatest stories of all time.
I'd be super, super happy for him.
And if he does, if he does win, then I think he stays at 55, I'm guessing. If he doesn't, now I know he says he'll defend both because that's the kind of guy he is, but we haven't seen anybody do that. That's tough, right? The double champ has never really resulted in people defending two weight classes.
I mean, if you don't have to cut that extra weight.
That's what I think.
Like,
that's where I think he'd be
not?
Like, man, if he doesn't have to and he can, you know, I don't think he would. But if he loses, then you think he'd go back to 45 and unify the title against the interim champ. The question I want to ask is because, and I guess I'm probably tipping my hand, is who you think would have a better chance of beating Volkanovski? Because I'll just say it, I think Emmett has a better chance of beating Volkanovski than Yair does.
I think you're right.
Because the power he
packs.
Because
of the power.
Because of the power he packs. Because of the wrestling that he has.
Yep.
I think he has a better chance of beating Volkanovski.
I mean, we've seen guys that were crazy good on the jiu-jitsu, like Ortega gave their best shot on getting him to tap out, and he never tapped out. You know, I mean, would you say that Yair's better on the ground than Ortega? I don't think so.
No.
And he doesn't have the limbs and he doesn't have other stuff. So, I mean, like, where's the area that he's going to be more dangerous? You know, I think Emmett, when it comes – it's just – I don't know. He's more versatile probably than the skill set of what, you know, we could see from Emmett. But, I mean, I think it's just the power. It's just going to be – that fight is going to be about power and who's going to knock out the other person.
That's it, because Yair has – when I think of Yair, I think of, obviously, creativity. I think of the movement. I think of the angles. But when I think of Volkanovski, I think of speed and movement and all that. Like, not as wild as Yair moves, but certainly, like, it would be a fun, fast-paced fight. But I don't think Yair would outpace Volkanovski, you know what I mean, or surprise me with – where again, Emmett, meat and potatoes, right? Like he's just going forward.
Let's just test
our chin. And I think he has a chance to land. So I think he would actually have a better chance, maybe. But I guess we'll see how all that plays out.
Yeah.
The rest of it, look, Jack Della Maddalena, obviously everybody's excited about him for the right reason. Randy Brown, though, this is a good test, man. A really, really good test for where Jack Della Maddalena is at. I think most people favor him because most people feel pretty high about
him. I was going to say, is that where you leaned?
Yeah, I do. Yeah. I do. But I think Randy Brown is a good test. Just the body type that he has, the veteran
savvy that he has.
And he surprises
people. Everybody counts him out sometimes, and he shows up and he wins. I mean, this could definitely be that fight, but Jack is a beast, man.
He really is.
He's a beast.
Justin Toffa versus Parker Porter.
I do not like that fight.
That's just going
to
be
a big happy jelly.
Just a couple big jolly boys dudes, going
boys
in there.
Are throwing down. Going in there to play pitter patter.
That one's on the main card because we know exactly what's happening. Then, of course, Jimmy Crute against Alonzo. Jimmy Crute versus Alonzo Minifield.
That's going to be a good one.
A couple of monsters going at it, too, man. I favor Crute in that one as well.
I pick Crute as well.
But Alonzo's
Tough, man. Because Alonzo, I thought he looked good in his last one. But Crute, man, he's just consistently, man. He just does well, man. But both of them, man, 13-3, 12-3.
It's crazy, man.
Alonzo sort of just quietly racked up a really good record.
I know. That's, not a big talker. Coming out there, you know, talking noise or nothing. But he's going to be in there. Tyson Pedro is back against Modestus Bukauskas. Glad to see Tyson doing good, man. The long journey back, and he's in a good spot right now. But you know,
I was looking
Modestus
through some
back.
Old footage the other day, and because I was trying to just find some other stuff. Remember when we went for the fighters retreat out there at that whatever casino it was?
Yeah.
And I remember they had that was eventually the one that Cyborg got in trouble because she slapped somebody. Can't remember who she had beef with, but they had the concert out there in the venue
Snoop,
or whatever.
Right?
Yes. But there was that footage where we get a bunch of B-roll. They had all that stuff inside. I think they had, like, different lessons or whatever. But remember, they had the punching machine in there. But it seemed like there was a young Tyson, because we interviewed him for part of the stuff. Saw him. He looked all young. And it's funny. I found this clip where I was getting B-roll. You get a trip out of this. Of, like, clothes, because they had different, like, the stuff. And I was panning along the clothes. And when I got to the left side of the clothes rack, the young Francis Ngannou was sitting there making a face in my camera, like, and then smiling and walking away. Because I remember we had just met him a little before.
Over in Europe, right?
Yeah. Yep. And I was just like, holy shit. I was like, and it just tripped me out because I was like, look at this. I was like, that's Francis. But he looked like a baby.
Yeah.
He was super younger. Well, not super younger, but yeah, it was just crazy. But yeah, so it's funny because I just saw that footage like yesterday.
I didn't remember Tyson
Pedro.
Tyson
was there and a bunch of all those kecks. I remember there was footage. Everybody sitting around the punching bags.
Wasn't it Mark Diakazi that came in and kicked the punching machine?
So did Uriah, because I have footage of him doing a spinning back kick on it. And then, but like, there was footage of like all these cats sitting around it doing it. Marvin Vettori, all these guys. Because I remember it was either go to these classes, do this other stuff, or they were staying in the room and they were waiting for the big party, the outside playground to open up. So they all sat around, were hitting the punching machine just because it had a running leaderboard.
Yeah, and everybody
who was
trying
on
to
top.
Get on it.
I remember at the time we were there, we're like, I can't wait till Francis hits it, you know, because he hadn't hit it at the time. And I forget who was at the top of the list, but it wasn't like anybody that we were like, oh my goodness. I remember Pedro was up there, but I remember there was a clip at one point I saw the names.
There was somebody we thought was like more of a grappler, or it was a smaller guy. I can't remember who it was at the top, but there were some names around.
It was just like crazy.
Dude, that's so funny. I'm taking myself back there right now.
It was a long time ago.
So Cyborg, if I remember right, was it Angela Nagana that she was having the problems
maybe
with?
Maybe that's who it was.
And I remember like some footage evolved. Some footage came out of like Chris Weidman trying to step in there, and like Cyborg stepped to Weidman and he like jumped out of the way, like, oh no, I'm not.
I'm good. Okay.
Dude, I totally forgot.
Yeah,
Snoop performed. I remember too. Like everybody, I remember the one thing about that everybody was talking about that we talked to, or I don't know if it was that conference or another. I know there was because there was more than one. But was that the same one that Kobe spoke?
Kobe,
at? And everybody was just like everybody that heard Kobe speak, like to a man, to a woman, they were like, it was unbelievable to hear him, like his
one.
Mentality.
That was the one.
Wow.
Yep. It's crazy. It's crazy, man. Like, we've been to some fun little stuff. But I remember that one. It was just like, oh, there's some fighters there. You know, you guys want to come out and, like, interview some of the stuff. And I remember just shooting. But, yeah, I was just looking through footage. And I was like, fighters retreat. Let me just pull that up. And it started to open up. And there was clips of me taking pictures of the signs in the rooms. And then there's the clothing rack. And then I panned it. And Francis was the first one I saw. I was like, holy shit. I was like, it's crazy.
That's too funny, man.
That's too funny. Yeah, I'll have to send you a screenshot.
I'll have to check that out, man. And that was the one where the UFC finally figured out that a bunch of alpha males and alpha females given unlimited alcohol and all put in the same position was not a proper thing to do. And that was the end of the...
You live and you learn. Yeah, I found that picture. I'm going to send it to you right now through WhatsApp.
I love it.
You're
going to
get a trip out of it.
All right, the rest of the prelims, I'll tell you what. A little bit, you know, I'm always going to plug some CFFC, baby. We got Blake Builder on there. We got Elise Reed. So I'm excited for those. Blake Builder, of course, has an incredible story. We saw him come through the Contender Series, and oh my gosh, this photo is hilarious,
dude. Imagine me.
This is terrible audio podcast right now.
Imagine me panning from right to left. Maybe I'll share it onto the.
We'll put it on Patreon.com.
Put it on Patreon.
Over there where you can support us for as little as $3 a month, you can get to see a young Francis Ngannou sporting an Anderson Silva spider hat.
I was trying to figure out what that brand was.
That has to be an Anderson Silva thing. Unless that's a Spider-Man thing, because he's got like a Captain America shirt on. So it might just be a pure on like Spider-Man thing.
It might just be pure on. Somebody gave him free clothes, and he was like, I'm just going to wear whatever. Because at that time, when we first met him, he was not the super nice clothes, polished dude. Like when he started getting money, he started buying all the nice clothes. But back then, it was just like, you know, what shit did somebody give me? And who doesn't do that? I mean, like, give me free swag, I'll wear the shit out of it, you know? And here he's wearing all of it.
That's hilarious. He does. I thought it was Anderson Silva, but it might just be like Spider-Man because he's wearing like a Captain America shirt. And that's
I don't know. It's got a sticker on top of the hat, you know? So maybe it's like a brand for something, but I don't know. I've never been big on like the hats. I don't know who makes whatever, but it looks like it's got one of those like stickers for something branded.
Totally forgot about that, man. Dude, we've been around this game for a bit. That was fun. We've had some fun times. All right, Blake Builder is going to be in there against Shane Young, so I'll be definitely tuning in for that. Blake Builder made his way through Contender Series. Elise Reed, I love Elise, and she's fighting Loma Lukbumi, who I love watching Loma Lukbumi fight because she's. She's pure Thai. Like this is Muay Thai versus karate, man. Like that fight should be a fun early prelim. And I just say because Loma is one of my favorite female fighters to watch fight because she is just like straight up pure Muay Thai. For that one.
It says she's 5'1".
No
I was going to say she's 4.
No
she's got to be 4'10" or 4'something.
They took her word.
I was
going to
say
one.
Like she's 4 foot something, and I was like 5'1". That's a little surprising. She's got to be one of the shorter people on the roster.
100%. Nobody.
But she is.
Her.
She fights like she's like a 300-pound beast, man. She just goes forward. She's always fun to watch.
She is fun to watch. All right, listen. I did want to ask you give me your temperature on the Conor McGregor. Michael Chandler, Ultimate Fighter. I mean,
I'm down for the fight. I mean, as for the you know, just like anything, you know, the longer that something happens, more good, you know, maybe fun bits where the coaches are actually brought together. I'm sure we're going to hear some stuff.
Yeah.
But in the day-to-day, I mean, Conor's going to bring a team in. I don't know how much we're actually going to see him there. I mean, I'm sure he's going to come do his mandatory minimum requirements, show up for, you know, fight picks and the other particular stuff, and maybe we'll get some, you know, decent little bits. But I have to think that the interaction and what they're going to ask him is going to be a lot less than what coaches have done in the past. Just because, I mean, guy's got his hands in so many other stuff, many other business things. And it's all about just getting that fight, you know. So if he's like, hey, I'll come, you know, once a week, you know, we'll film once. You know, we can film enough to get through, you know, multiple shows or something. I just don't see him being as involved as like what Chandler will be. I think Chandler's going to take it a lot more serious
Chandler's going to be like,
so it'd be interesting seeing the coaching styles. But I think just like what we saw with Conor in the past, you know, it's going to be more about the coaches, you know, the coaches that he comes in and then him just sort of overall doing it. I'm not sure if he's going to bring in the touch butt coach and bring those floaties.
Touch butt in the park.
Yeah, that was so awesome.
Classic.
But it should be interesting. But in terms of the fight itself,
Ido Portal.
I want to see it.
I mean, too.
We said before. I mean, we want to see Conor fight. I mean, like Conor fight weeks are fun. I think this fight's going to be fun. We know what we're going to get. I mean, it's going to be a slobber knocker. I mean, neither one of those guys is going to go in there and both of them are going to want to go in there and get the most flashy, quickest knockout possible. And
where you think Chandler would probably want to wrestle, but he won't.
He won't. He hasn't yet. Why start now, you know? I mean, it's going to be interesting. But, I mean, I know a lot of people seem to be like, oh, it should have been Ferguson or it should have been this. I wasn't upset that it wasn't Ferguson. I'd rather see him fight Chandler than see him fight Tony Ferguson.
Yeah.
I just I feel that would have been an easier fight for Conor. As much as people want to hate on me for saying that, I think if he would have took the Tony back in the day when everybody was really wanting this fight, that'd be different. The Tone that we've seen now,
that's
you know,
fair.
With
and I hate to say that because I
coaching.
Love me some
I mean,
Tony
just
Ferguson,
like
but it's
he was
fair.
Coached. He was coached back then. I mean, he seemed like he had more structure around his training and other stuff. And I know he said that he seems like he's got that back into his life, but The Tony now is taking a lot more damage than the Tony back then as well. Connor hasn't been fighting. Could he be meeting that his timing and stuff's going to be off? Sure. But, I mean, Connor now is about that power. He just needs to land a couple of those lefts, you know, or shoot, you know, a couple shoulder knocks to the head. You know, that seemed to work pretty well against a Cowboy. I'm just more intrigued into how the fight between Chandler, because I think it's going to be a more competitive fight than it was from Ferguson. Would there have been more trash talk with Tony Ferguson? 100%. Tony's all about that, and it would have been really fun to see him, you know. I don't know what kind of Tony would have got fight week, because I feel some fight weeks we get a fun Tony that wants to play with the media, and other times we get Tony that just thinks we're the, you know, the scum of the earth, you know, whereas Chandler's always been – he plays the game really, really well.
Yes, he does.
So I think it just makes for better – we're going to get better quotes. I think we're going to get an overall better fight. But yeah, I'm excited about it. But yeah, it'd be interesting to see how the coaching styles break down. I would like to see the fighters that are actually participating, the participants, get the most out of what they can get for them tough.
Yeah.
And about these two coaches, obviously the coaches is going to dwarf the season. You know, so now that the guys that are there, even if they know that the season is going to be all about their coaches fighting, I want them to get the most out of it. And I think the guys on Chandler's side are probably going to get the better. But that being said, Connor's got great coaches that he can bring in. So it's not like he's going to be bringing in chumps. He's going to be bringing in great coaches to speak it. So I think both sides are going to get good stuff out of it. But, yeah, I mean, I think it's great. I just wish we'd know more stuff, like what weight class is it going to be at?
Gotta be 170.
When's it going to actually happen? You know, when's Connor going to enter into the pool? Does that mean, is this going to be in August? Is this going to be September? Is it going to not even be related to the finale? Are we going to have the finale and then the coaches fight on a whole different pay-per-view?
My guess is this takes place either November, Madison Square Garden, or December, Las Vegas.
Like, so months after the show ends.
I just think so. I think so. And I know that that's not ideal maybe from a Ultimate Fighter perspective, but
they pulled the coaches off of fights before, so that's not something unique, but to spread it out for months and months.
I just think, you know, again, I mean, we kind of spent time talking about it earlier, but Connor is that unicorn,
yeah,
right?
Has to be T-Mobile or Madison Square Garden.
I think so. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, you could bring him to any place, right? But those are the two cities in the United States where you can have the biggest gates because you can charge the most money, right? I mean, and that's what it's all about, is how much they're going to sell the same amount of pay-per-views no matter what the arena is. They're going to be, you know, it's going to be huge.
What if they open up Allegiant? You think that fight could do Allegiant? I mean, it's Connor.
No, that's not big enough to do Allegiant.
But they certainly have one half of the two. But like,
see, and this is going to go back to what we were talking about earlier. You've got one fight to pick, right? You're in the meeting. You're in the war room at the office.
Right.
You guys know Allegiant Stadium's on deck, and you know that you got to pick a fight. Is it Connor and Chandler, or is it Islam and Volk to headline Allegiant? You can't have them both.
Right.
You got to do one or the other. One of them has to headline. Which do you pick?
Connor.
That's it. That's it. It's stupid, right? It's a fight that won't have a title on the line.
Yeah.
That won't have pound for pound rankings on the line. That won't mean anything. But it's the one. And that's what this whole, are you promoting it right? Are you not doing it right? It boils back down to that. If I had to sell out Allegiant Stadium right now, I'm not picking the top 2 pound for pound guys on the planet.
Yep.
I'm picking Connor and this other dude that I know, and I don't mean to, you know, demean Michael Chandler,
right?
But the dude that you know is going to come in there and throw
down,
he's going to come in there and he's going to tear things up.
I mean, it's tough to think about who else would you want. I mean, like John Jones and Francis Ngannou, that could be a fight I could see in there.
I could see that,
but you need to have absolute superstars to do that. And there's no offense to both those guys, because those guys both are stars in their own right, but they're at different levels than what, like, Jones hasn't fought in, like, 3 years. And he has one fight coming back, and people are just creaming themselves.
All right, here's the question. So John Jones comes in March, smokes Ciryl Gane, right? Just destroys him in, like, 2 minutes. He's the champ, right? Now, all of a sudden, you find out you got Ngannou back under contract. He doesn't box. He's like,
even if it's just one fight.
He signs a one-fight deal. So now you're in that same boardroom, right? And you go, hey, we got a date at Allegiant Stadium. It's September, right after Tough is up. We got John Jones and Francis Ngannou, and we got Conor McGregor versus Michael Chandler. Which one's the main event?
Between the two of them?
Yeah. You've got both. Now you got both of them. Both of them are on the card. You got both of those on the card. Which one's the main event?
That's tough.
Right?
That's tougher. I would lean towards the heavyweights.
I would too, but it seems weird to say I'm going to put Conor McGregor in the co-main.
As a co-main. he might actually like the fact that he doesn't have the top bill, or because he has less responsibilities that he can get out of it.
It's true.
But I could see where he could also take a front and be like, no, I'm obviously the A side.
I think if you had those two fights, you could settle Allegiant Stadium.
I mean, if they can get him back to do tough, I think he's willing to play.
Right.
That's a whole different thing. It'd be one thing if he hasn't already agreed to sort of fight, and they're like, we just want to get Conor back. What can we do? I think that then they would have to give him the main event. But the fact that he's willing to come back to the table because he's been gone for so long, I can see him getting the co-main, because
it would be so weird to be like, hey, we've got the heavyweight unification between, you know.
They wouldn't call it a co-main. They'd call it a how does Bellator phrase it?
Double main event.
Double main event.
Double main event.
And then so what he would do is he'd say on the backdrop, both said the names have to be on the same level. You can't have one above the other. They have to be the same.
The longest name ever.
Or no, the names would still be stacked. So it'd be Conor versus, blah blah blah, and then Jones versus blah 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 over here. But they'd be eye level or whatever.
Oh, that's so funny.
But yeah, between that, I think that's just because there's an affinity towards heavyweights. But it's a heavyweight, but it's also Jones.
And it's Jones.
You know, because if it was Ngannou and Gon, I don't care about that as much.
Not as much.
You know, I mean, I think it's a great fight, but if he had McGregor and Ngannou Gon fight as the heavyweight, I would want McGregor on top.
Yep.
That's still Jones. That's Jones. I agree.
I wonder if Ngannou is like, obviously, like, he's in all the discussions, but I wonder if in the back of his mind he is waiting for March to be like, let me see if John wins first. And if John wins, maybe we talk about something.
Well, the fight's always going to be there. Yeah. But honestly, even if Jones lost, that fight could still be there for him.
It would.
People still
want to
see it. It wouldn't have the same meaning. Yeah. Because, one, he's not going to get the same amount of money because if there's no belt on it or whatever.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I don't think Francis is gone forever.
I don't either. I just think he wants to go get that.
It's just weird that the UFC, they don't tend to do one-fight deals. But if they realize that that's the only fight to make, that's the biggest fight. Like if they're like, Jones doesn't want to fight anybody else, blah, blah, blah. Even though I'm sure he has an eight fight deal, just like everybody seems to make a big deal about the fact that they just got O'Malley back on an 8-fight deal. I'm like, that's what everybody's been getting lately.
The big guys.
All the big guys, they've been tying them down for 8.
Because they want to be like, dude, if we're gonna be in business together for a while, let's lock this thing down. Yeah. So I know you're not gonna
best case.
Two fights and leave.
In their mind, they're thinking that's 2 or 3 years.
Yeah.
If they slow roll, if they're getting 2 or 3 fights a year, a lot of fighters are like, I'm gonna fight 3 or 4 times. That very rarely ever happens, especially if you're a champ.
Twice.
You want to spread it out a little bit, you know, like who wants to keep putting the belt at risk? Don't you want to be a champ for a little bit? Like, enjoy it. You got some more money, just enjoy it. But yeah, I think they just try to lock these guys down 3 or 4 years if they can, but it was just interesting. Everybody's like, oh my gosh, 8 fights. I'm like, bro,
it's been pretty standard. They've been doing 10-fight deals. Yeah. Like Anderson did like a 10-fight deal. Like, if it's people like that are making the top-level money, they want to lock them down for a while
because
they want to know that, hey, man, we're going to invest in you, but that means we know you're going to be around for a while. Like, a 3-fight, 4-fight contract, that, like I said, that might be a year and a half and you're done.
Yeah, done.
They want to lock you down for a little while and have you around for a while, but they kind of on the flip side, they pay you some significant cash when they sign that type of deal. So, interesting. All right. Well, listen. UFC 284 is this weekend. I am excited to watch it. Right now, I have to go have a meeting with some PFL staff that are in town. Obviously, they're coming to visit Las Vegas, so I'm gonna go talk to them for a little bit. So I'm gonna get out and run. Excited for UFC 284. I'm telling you, man. It is. Go watch this interview with John Anik and Brendan Fitzgerald. I really was watching it last night, and I just so related to it, man. Like on Saturday when that fight card is happening, I'm gonna be so regretful that I'm not there for the fight. But like tonight I'm taking my kid to soccer practice, tomorrow I'm taking my kid to jiu-jitsu, like the next you should just go. It's kids change everything, man. I was saying this on the and a half episode this past weekend, but like I've been in this business long enough that I've seen a lot of people be in the position that I'm at right now where they kind of stopped traveling. Like there were people that had been on the road forever and they kind of stopped traveling, and they would say the same thing, like, dude, I just want to be around my family. And I swear to God, I used to just be like, dude, you just lost the passion. Like you don't love the sport anymore. Like, cause I was like, no, if you love the sport, you're on the road. You love the job. You're going and doing that.
Yeah.
And now I realize, no, they were telling the exact truth. Like you get to a point with children, man, it changes everything. You're like, I want to be around that little dude as much as I can. You know.
Even without children, I think you get that way.
You're just like, me and my couch are so close.
It's good to do it every once in a while, but like the desire. I mean. Do it 10 or 11 years. Like, I don't have the desire to like be everywhere anytime, you know? I mean,
on fight night, I regret. On fight night, though, I'm like, damn it, I should be there right now. But the rest of the week.
Then when you're kicking on your couch and you're just chilling, but you're also sitting out in the arena, it's different if you sit in the back.
That's true, too.
You know, like, then you get to feel like, oh, I'm not in the bowels of some venue on fight night eating mediocre food. And then working until the wee hours of the night. Oh, or can I do this from my couch? B. Option B.
It's too funny. Too
but also, too, I just got a bit of travel done, so I guess my bug is good for a little while. So
I headed out to L.A., so I'm good.
Yeah, it's very much the same. Very much the same.
I'm trying to finalize my schedule. March, I'm going to have Canada, Columbia, and Philadelphia in three straight weeks with commentary.
I told you, you don't even cover the UFC anymore.
I'm shifting towards that commentary, baby.
For those that want to watch some other fight action on Valentine's Day, we don't know the actual location yet, but there will be some LFC action for those that are fans of the Lingerie Fighting Championship. We got a big match going, I forget what's it called, Back to the Mansion. What mansion? We don't know yet. But it's at a mansion.
It's a non-disclosed location, so they haven't even told us yet. We just never supposed to be there around.
But there are supposed to be some big potential investors into it. You know, I will say there are
as a primary shareholder, like you're privy to these types of things.
We know things.
These types of big meetings going on.
We know things.
I'll tell you what's funny is I did. So I missed my wife's birthday because I went to do Fight League Atlantic, and I missed my wife's birthday. And my wife gave me grief about it because she's really one of those, like, days are important. Like, to me, did we celebrate your birthday 2 days early? That's good enough.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Not to her. It's got to be on the day. So she was kind of mad at me for that. But she understood. Like, I was going to work. But it was funny. So I was like, hey, babe. I was like, Valentine's Day, just FYI. Like, I know I just missed your birthday a week ago.
Just early.
Just so you know. But she doesn't.
But Valentine's Day is just a Hallmark day.
Valentine's Day, I don't think she cares about really, but it's just funny.
Tell her she can come spend it with us.
Come to watch a little lingerie fighting with us. See?
Yeah.
I'm telling you.
Invite her. And then you can go to dinner afterwards.
Ooh, see, now you're talking.
See?
Now you're talking. I
get
like
the juices flowing. I'm sure we can get an invite to this whatever mansion that we're going to be at, which I will say there will be a former heavyweight boxing champion there present. I'm not sure if I'm supposed to disclose
that. I don't think you're supposed to say that.
But I will say that there is a former heavyweight boxing champion going to be there. There's been a few of those.
I believe that was supposed to stay in the shareholders meeting.
Yeah. Well, you know, when you have so many shares, you're allowed to give out little bits of info, little teasers.
I love it.
Little teasers.
I love it. So that'll be on the horizon. Lingerie Fighting Championship next week on Valentine's Day.
Yeah. And so then, for those of you that want to have some quality television to watch with your significant other, we got you covered.
I know Oscar filled in for me last time, but Alex is in town.
That's so funny.
So good. We've had some fun over the years. All right, listen, I got to run. I got to go get to this meeting. Always good chopping it up with you. Those of you that can support us over at patreon.com/TheMMARoadshow. Of course, I'll be back this weekend for the and a half episode for everybody else. If you can rate us, review us, leave us some feedback, we always appreciate that. But more than anything, we can just tell you from the bottom of our hearts, we mean it. Thanks for listening.